I liked her a good deal more this time. She was quick-witted and shrewd, which appealed to me. But she had a sharp edge, and did not hesitate to show it. At one point I made a reference to a man, well-known in art world circles, who had been a close friend of Peggy Guggenheim's since the early 60s. "Oh, him," she said with a light-hearted laugh. "What was he doing when you saw him, serving drinks to all those rich men?" It was a cheeky remark, I thought, since she could not have known whether the man was a good friend of mine or merely an acquaintance. Nor, it later occurred to me, did she care.
"The name of Olga Rudge never came up?"
Peter Lauritsen asked. "Only once," I said, as I was leaving. In a room off the parlor, I noticed a large painting of an old woman seated among various objects. Books, I think. The colors were pastel. I liked the painting. I asked who it was, and Jane said Olga Rudge. Then she added, "Her archives are at Yale, you know." She said it with a perkiness that seemed to say, "Isn't that wonderful?" Which was odd, I thought, because I didn't think it was at all surprising that Ezra Pound's mistress of 50 years would have a collection of letters important enough to end up at Yale.
"That's not where Jane Rylance had wanted them to end up," said Peter.
I resisted the impulse to call Jane and asked to talk to her again. It seemed wiser to find out more about the Ezra Pound Foundation first. The Lauritsens begged off, saying their knowledge of the affair was too sketchy and that other people were closer to Olga when it was happening. Meanwhile, Olga's recent death had made her a frequent topic of conversation in Venice. What emerged from all the talk was a moving and dramatic portrait of Olga Rudge, Ezra Pound, Mary de Rockevilts, and, in the background, Pound's legal wife, Dorothy Shakespeare, and their son, Omar. Both Olga Rudge and Ezra Pound had become expatriates shortly after the turn of the century. Olga in 1904 at the age of 9, Pound in 1908 at 23. Olga had been born in Youngstown, Ohio. Pound was a native of Idaho. Pound settled first in Venice, installing himself in a small apartment on Rio San Travaso, and, with his own money, publishing 100 copies of his first book of poems, A Lume Spento, with tapers quenched. 3 months later, he moved to London, where he became a driving force of literary modernism. He campaigned for a more austere, direct, and forceful style of expression, as summed up and exemplified by his rallying cry, "Make it new." He was a poet, a critic, an editor, and an unusually generous promoter of his literary friends and their work. He helped William Butler Yeats shed his Celtic romanticism, counseled Hemingway to distrust adjectives, and sang the praises of James Joyce to Sylvia Beach, who then published Ulysses. His editing of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland contributed so profoundly to the poem that Eliot dedicated it to him in gratitude and admiration. Ezra Pound, Il Miglio Fabbro, The Better Craftsman. In 1920, Pound reviewed a concert for The New Age, in which he praised a young violinist for the delicate firmness of her fiddling. The violinist was Olga Rudge. 3 years later, Pound and Olga met for the first time at the Paris Salon of Natalie Barney. Olga, then 27, was possessed of exotic black-Irish good looks. Pound was tall, impressive in his signature brown velvet jacket, and married. They became lovers.